Second marriages are often romantically framed as a second chance at love. But I hate to break it to you, it can be hard to stick the landing. The divorce rate for second marriages is around 60%, or almost double the rate for first marriages. If you're getting married for the second time, I bet you believe you'll be the exception to that rule. This time on Life Matters, we're talking about repartnering and how to make it work the second, third, even fourth time around. How can things be different? And because I'm talking about marriage number two, I've invited not one, but two psychotherapists, both of whom are specialists in couples, both of whom are in their second marriage, and both of whom are married to each other. It is a marriage that's lasted 14 years and counting, so hopefully we can learn from what they've done wrong and what they're doing right. And welcome to Dr. Zoe Kripka, psychotherapist, senior lecturer at the Cahn-Miller Institute, and host of the podcast, How's That Working for You? Hi, Zoe.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Stephen Andrew, also a psychotherapist who specializes in individuals, couples, throuples, and polycules. Welcome back, Stephen.
Thank you, Beverly. Great to be here.
All right. So this is kind of special because you've both been on the show separately.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're here together. You've done a lot of media together, but this is the first time you're talking about your relationship. Is that right, Zoe?
That is very right.
How are you feeling about it, Stephen?
A little nervous.
Yeah.
But excited, probably more than nervous. This feels like a wonderful, wonderful moment.
It's kind of an experiment, and
yeah.
I think it's going to be very interesting. Let's ride the wave. I hear from my wonderful producer, Becca Zajac, that you made a commitment to not talk to each other about what you were going to say today. And did you stick to that promise?
We did.
Oh, whoa. Mm-hmm. What's been kind of the vibe coming in this morning?
It's been pretty light.
Yeah.
We're more worried about the traffic.
Okay.
That was a good distraction.
Very Melbourne answer. Okay. I am very keen to hear how your two potentially very different perspectives on your relationship kind of match up when we get into the chat. But first, let's get a sense more broadly about how in Australia we are doing when it comes to second marriages. Stephen, I hear via Beck and Zoe that you are the statistics guy. So I'd love you to tell me, what do the numbers tell us about second marriages in Australia?
The numbers tell us that about a quarter of marriages are made up with people who have had previous marital experience, shall we say, they've been married before. So roughly 25% of all marriages include people who have been married before. And that's sort of split between people like Zoe and myself, who are now in our second marriages. We've both been married before, about 10%. And the other 15% are made up with marriages where there's one person who has been married before.
Okay. Is it likely that there are lots of people repartnering and breaking up that don't get collected by those statistics?
Absolutely, yes. These are legal marriages, not so much de factos, mm-hmm. which are not tracked by the Bureau in the same way. So, we know that the de facto marriages end a lot quicker, and that's probably because it's an easier relationship to get out of without all of the legals and the dramas around getting an actual official divorce.
Mm. Now, Zoe, is there anything you're noticing in your practice about the experience of second marriages right now?
Yeah, I think one of the big things that I notice is the lack of support that people in second marriages can have, particularly if sides have been taken in first marriages and kind of communities or families have been fractured. There's a lot of pressure on that couple, more pressure on that couple than there might have been on the first partnership.
And is there anything new that you're noticing, I guess, in the long term of your practice about the second marriage experience?
I think what's really hopeful is because there's more discussion about reflecting on what happened in your first marriage personally, I think people are doing more of that work and understanding more of those pressures rather than going in like, I'm going to roll the dice again and hope that it turns out better. And so that's really hopeful to me. Yeah.
Back to the stats for you, Stephen. Last year's Australia's divorce rate was at its lowest reported rate in 50 years. Taking into account what you've just told me about the stats, how do you interpret that figure?
Marriages are down too, so not as many people are getting married. We have a housing crisis in the country too, which is keeping people together that perhaps would much prefer to be living separately and moving towards divorce. So there's a lot of unhappy couples out there that are kind of grimly hanging on because to split a household is financially particularly tricky because you need two houses, you need two electricity bills, you need two couches, two fridges and so on.
Very expensive.
Very expensive.
And and difficult logistically. Yes. This is ABC Radio National with Life Matters. I'm Beverly Wang. I'd love to hear from you today about your experience in a second marriage, a second relationship, a long-term one, even beyond if you've ventured into the third and fourth and beyond. If you are willing to share your insights into how to make a second relationship work, how to make it different maybe from the first, or if you're in the 60% of second marriages that don't work out, I'd love to also to know what led you to that point and perhaps, you know, some reflections in hindsight about how it is that you got there. If you're just catching up, Zoe and Stephen are both psychotherapists who work with couples and they're also married to each other in their second marriage. So we have a blending of the personal and the professional experience here as well. Zoe, we were just talking through with Stephen about the divorce statistics, and I guess that might not make people thinking about getting remarried super optimistic, even though I think most people probably think that's not going to be me, right? But what can a second marriage offer that maybe a first one didn't?
Well, I think it would be kind of a failure of imagination if we didn't think that there was something to learn from your first marriage. You know, I think often going into your second marriage, of course, you're older and you're making hopefully better choices, but you've also got more of an idea of what you brought to your last relationship that was unhelpful, unhelpful for you, unhelpful for your partner. And that's incredibly useful.
I got a text comment in, and I'd love to hear what you think about it. The texter says, maybe seeing divorce as failure is the wrong way to approach this topic. Instead, maybe people, especially women, are wiser and more confident the second time around and therefore less inclined to stay in an unhappy or abusive relationship the second time around, which is a good thing rather than a bad thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really true. I think we, you know, to see the end of a relationship as a failure is problematic. And certainly, that people are getting out faster is also a sign that, you know, you can see those red flags earlier as well, which is great.
What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I agree. I think failure, broken families, home wrecker, all of those are very awful phrases from a long, long time ago. It's possible to learn a lot from a quote-unquote failure of marriage. A marriage that ends, you can learn a lot from.
Yeah, there's a different way of phrasing it, a different way of thinking about it for sure. I wonder if you don't mind us getting personal now, Zoe and Stephen. Up for it? Ready?
Yep.
Go for it. Okay. So, Stephen, you were in your first marriage for nearly 20 years.
Yes.
You had two kids. Can you describe how that marriage ended?
That marriage was had a very difficult, a long and difficult ending for me. Like everybody else that gets married, I didn't expect the marriage to end. And it was a kind of a very slow and very painful realization for me that this was not working. It's a terrible, terrible place to be in an intimate relationship and feeling it crumble or fall away from you. And very, very, very distressing. I think the worst day of my life was telling my kids, who were, I think, 9 and 14, that I wasn't staying with their mum. It was, for years afterwards, I would tear up just talking about that. It was horrible.
It's a hard conversation to have.
Very, very difficult to have.
Zoe, at the end of your first marriage, which lasted for more than 20 years, what state were you in?
I was a basket case, to use a clinical term. So I was, I was really, really distressed, really sad, but also really broke. And so, you know, in a lot of financial stress as well. So it was quite a heady combination.
Yeah. Now, looking back, though, Zoe, at what point, I guess in the aftermath of your first marriage, did you start to think, oh, yeah, maybe I want to do that again.
I think it was about 5 years later. But, you know, I didn't really want to do it in the first time. I wanted to be in the relationship, but I didn't necessarily need or want to get married. That was really a decision for other reasons. I think this time it was really, I really did want to kind of celebrate the relationship with friends, with family, really kind of affirm it in that way. And, you know, that was a new thing for me.
How about you, Stephen? Same question.
Yeah, I'm just picking up on the idea that I think what I brought and what was different in my relationship with Zoe was a recognition. It took me a while to understand this, that there are two people in a relationship and there is a third entity called the relationship. Mm. I, in my younger days, was quite dismissive of this thing. It's just two people and we come together or we move apart. I was not a particularly good person at maintaining my relationships. And with a lot of encouragement from Zoe, a lot of help from Zoe, I got better at that. And I really recognized that I am here, she is there, and we have this thing together called a relationship, yeah. And I've got better at doing that.
I've heard it referred to like as a plant, you know, that you're tending together.
Yeah, in a garden. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
And then just to stick with you, Stephen, I'll come back to you, Zoe, for the same question. When you did remarry, I mean, and the realization, did it come with kind of like a checklist of like promises to both yourself or to your partner? You know, if I ever get married again, I definitely won't do that. I definitely will do this.
Yes, it was a promise I made to myself to, and this, I'm going to pinch your image here, Zoe. Zoe has this idea of two people and things that fall between us, like physically, metaphorically fall between us, and to be really good at being watchful for that and to do that maintenance and that cleaning up. And that could be around communication, that could be around attachment styles or whatever my tendency is, to become as conscious as I can about that and get in and do the spade work and clear that out so I can be close to her, yeah. And she can be close to me. When there's things in the way, when things are not discussed or talked about or we're made aware of, it can end relationships, and it's ended a number of mine. I look back and go, oh, that's what was in the way of us. We could have been great.
Yeah.
And we were for a while, and then this stuff kept coming in and I didn't deal with it and the other person didn't deal with it, and so the marriage relationship went south.
Mm. How about you, Zoe? What was on your kind of checklist?
I think a big one for me, and this is probably true for a lot of women, was I didn't want to sell what I was doing or feeling down the river. That it's, you know, I'm very well trained to sort of put my needs and interests aside. And I thought, well, I can't do that again. But also, I'm a deeply sort of melancholic person, and I really have to keep that in check. You know, I'm thinking, like, if my ex is listening, he's probably thinking, that's putting it lightly. And so that was really important for me to keep track of as well. And then, like Stephen, too, yeah, to air things more regularly. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your stories. It's nice to hear. I think it's really important. On Life Matters this morning on Radio National with me, Beverly Wang, and my guests, Zoe Krupka and Stephen Andrew, who are psychotherapists who are married to each other in their second marriage, who work with couples in their professional practice. We are talking about the second relationship, maybe even the third and the fourth. Welcome callers of all persuasions. And as you know, let's try to find out how many times you've all been married, if you care to share. I know that Jamie in Townsville, you've been married four times. Tell us about it.
Oh, hi, Beverly. I hope your day's going well.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought I had an interesting story. I thought it'd be worth sharing for you and the viewers. I'm a five-time offender. When I say a five-time offender, you know, like I've had a shot at the title, maybe five times, and, you don't always win every battle.
I think you've been married more times than Rupert Murdoch, so.
Well, I'm not as old as Rupert, and I'd like to think in my closing period I might have a little bit more go about me. But look, all, you know what I mean. Listen, all of that said and done, no, I got married first time when I was really, really very quite young.
Yeah.
I stepped
How old?
Into,
Just let me know.
I'll have a stab. I think I was about 25.
Okay.
Which is pretty much youngster nowadays. And that was kind of like okay. But it just, it really just didn't work for me. And we kind of like through careers and what have you, went our own way. Then only a short period after, along came wife number two. That was a disaster. And you think I would have learned after life, wife number one, but, you know, sometimes you just don't learn from the mistakes that you've made. Anyway, along comes wife number three. And we lived a really, really happy marriage for about 15 years. The flame then sort of disappeared, mm-hmm. A couple of lovely children. So we separated for a while, got formally divorced, separated for a while, and then completely out of the blue, we got back together again and formalised that process through what they call in Canberra a civil relationship. Which I think some people refer to maybe as a de facto relationship or something like that, but I think it's a little bit more formal than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm getting a little bit long in the tooth. I'm not as long as Rupert, believe me. So this year we just thought, you know, why don't we just cement this in concrete and lock it down in stone forever? So away we went. So wife number three has become wife number two on two occasions.
Yes.
And we are currently, you okay. know, living a really simple life in retirement, chilled out and happy.
Okay, so just to be clear, Jamie, married four times but married twice to the same woman, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. That is, I mean, I have to first of all give you the crown as the first caller of the morning to tell this story. Thank you so much for kicking us off in such a wonderful fashion. But let's talk about the insights. You said one and two absolute disasters, and then three breaks up, and then you reconcile. Mm. What were the lessons between, let's start with marriages one and two. When you say absolute disaster, looking back, where did it go wrong?
Oh, look, I think it's fair to say that marriages are truly, I think they're a business made in heaven, but they are truly a partnership. You know, in those relationships, some of us are stronger in one way or another. You have to really work together as a team to make it happen. You know, and in my case, it just took me a long while to master the art of getting it right.
Yeah. And then now going from your third and fourth marriage to the same person, I just wonder how different was it during marriage number three versus how it is now, I suppose, in like mark two of that marriage or marriage number four, however you want to annotate it, but what are the lessons and what are the conversations that you've had in the interim that made you want to try again and sounds like it's better this time around?
Oh, look, firstly, it could not be any better, and I think certainly for me anyway, and I've got pretty much, you know, my partner, I believe, thinks the same way, and that is that I'm a little bit older than her. But, you know, as you're moving somewhat into your closing period of life, you know, the last 20 years, 25 years, you know, I hear everywhere that some people are just, you know, really happy with being single and seemingly lonely. I just don't aspire to that. I think it's absolutely wonderful to have a partner and absolutely wonderful to do those simple little things that we do as we get older that I would rather not do on my own.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for calling in and sharing this story. It's been epic. It's quite an extraordinary tale. Zoe, what did you hear in Jamie's call?
Well, I heard some of what Stephen was saying in terms of really seeing this as a working partnership. Like, this is something that you really need to take on and that you don't necessarily do when you're younger, you know, as a child groom, as Jamie was 25.
So young, yes.
Yeah, and that sometimes it takes a long time to learn that. Mm-hmm. And it took him, you know, a while to learn that as well.
Yeah. Like. Stephen, what about you?
I was struck by Jamie's phrase, the simple little things that he longs to share with someone special.
That's sweet.
And that really touched me. And I thought, yeah, this is Zoe and I often take an evening walk just around our neighbourhood, looking at bugs and cats that come out to greet us and bats flying overhead and chatting away and just feeling how much richer that experience is than when I wander around by myself. It's a very, very different thing to say, hey, look at that. That's amazing. And Zoe has a great level of curiosity too. So we're like a couple of little kids as we wander around pointing out things to each other in the world. And these are simple, as Jamie said, simple little things.
Yeah.
Thank you for making it sound like we have an exciting life, Stephen.
Bugs are exciting.
They are.
Bats.
Cats, bats, fantastic. Let's go to Janet, who is in Adelaide. Welcome, Janet. From my notes, I see that you're in your second marriage and your husband, and this is a third marriage. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And I've been thinking about what would be helpful to the people listening to this, and I think it's focusing more on what our marriage is and what's kept us together after not so very happy marriages previously.
Yeah.
So one thing that worked for us was that we both agreed on how to bring up our children. And they were my husband's stepchildren. And so we used to, if I disagreed with something that he was doing, I would tell him at night, not in front of the kids. And that really worked. We had a very successful marriage, managing children. Another thing that we did the year of our marriage was we bought a farm in the Adelaide Hills, and we lived between two houses together, between two houses, and we just love our farm. So we're up here at the moment, and it's the most beautiful place, and I think that's been very good for our marriage.
So you lived on the same property in two different homes, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. And yeah,
so
that's right.
I guess I'm curious as to how you came to that decision, and then I'd love to hear a bit about why you think that arrangement has helped your marriage.
Because we both worked in the city and had somewhere to go at the weekends that was an escape, and the children brought their friends up here. It just seemed like a holiday at the weekends.
Right.
So I think that really helped our marriage, yes.
We heard the first caller talk about the simple little things, and Stephen was just there very sweetly describing his walks around the neighborhood with Zoe. I wonder, can you think of any simple little things that you've shared in your marriage to your husband that have kind of given you that same feeling?
Something that I think worked for us was the expectation of our sex life.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly got that right and have had a very good sex life. I'm sure that helps couples. The other thing was my husband was a teacher, and he had lots of school holidays and would look after the children then, so we needed less childcare. That really helped. And we just seemed to be in sync with each other, you know, very happily with all of these things that we've worked together on.
Thank you, Janet, for calling in and sharing. It's really good to hear from you, sharing about your experience in your second marriage and your husband in his third. Zoe and Stephen, Janet mentioned sex, which obviously is part of relationships. I'm curious about how the ending of a first marriage, the desire for something different in the second marriage, can be about sex.
I think it can be a lot about sex. I think when people reflect on their first marriage, if it was an unhappy one particularly, I think people make two different kind of sex mistakes. And one is to ignore sex and to think it doesn't really matter if we're not very sexually compatible because I really like this person. And of course it does. Or to make sex so important that all of the other compatibility that Janet and Jamie were talking about isn't important. Mm. And, you know, I think in the second marriage, I think, you know, we had both the compatibility and the sexual compatibility. Mm. And those things are really important. Like Janet was saying, like, I think when you're arguing with someone, if I'm arguing with Stephen, there is also a part of me going, he's pretty cute. And that's really helpful.
Wow. You guys. Oh, my goodness. Stephen, any thoughts on what?
I'm a bit speechless, actually, after that.
All right, then, shall we just take another call?
No. The thought came to me that in a sense, sex starts again with a new partner. And a big mistake is just to assume that my new partner, my next partner, my other partner is the same and will respond in the same way and do the same things and feel the same things as my previous partners. And that just ain't true.
And also how it will feel having sex in your own body will feel different.
Of course, yeah.
And you might learn things about yourself.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. One would hope so.
Yeah.
And so that it's not the same as it was, and it isn't and can't be the same. And again, I want to come back to to Zoe's image of things falling between. It also happens in sex and discussions around sex and activity around that it's hard to talk about.
Yeah.
And to get good at that, to get good about with communicating about sex is very, very important.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
those things.
People aren't that comfortable talking about sex, but we are here on Radio National at 9:33 in the morning. Thank you very much. Let's go to Marianne in Melbourne and Norm. Welcome to Life Matters.
Hi. Yeah. My husband and I are both in our second marriage with each other. We both divorced sort of young. And I guess the things that we feel make the second marriage work really well is probably the amount of soul searching we both did after our first marriages. Soul searching and counseling and working on our communication skills and becoming really clear about what we both wanted and what we would and wouldn't put up with in a relationship. And I think that's really benefited our second marriage because, the communication lines are always open and we're always committed to working on that space between as you describe it and I think that's like when I look around at some of the relationships around me and sometimes friends will ask why do you think you guys are going well and I just say because we both failed had a failure earlier on and looked at ourselves and thought what can I do better and just built up those skills and I think when we made promises to each other, it wasn't a promise to be together forever. It was to do our absolute best to love each other across time. And of course, we want to be together forever. But we know in reality, people can't always promise that. But to promise to put the work in to try and make that happen.
Thinking back on your, I guess, level of self-awareness and self-consciousness, you know, in terms of working on your relationship in your first marriage and your second marriage, it sounds like there's quite a difference. Marianne, is that true? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, absolutely. A big difference for both of us. We were both quite young in our first marriages and really didn't have heaps of understanding about the sorts of things that can affect relationships. And since then, we've both learned a lot about attachment styles, about trauma and trauma triggers and how that can affect each of us and how to recognize when that's happening and how to sort out your own stuff from the other person's stuff and, how to come to a relationship as a whole person, not as like as a half wanting another half, but as a whole person that is self-contained and having to be responsible for your own things and then bringing your whole self to the other person, not expecting them to fix you and that sort of stuff. Lots of psychoeducation, I think.
Yeah, sounds like it. Thank you for your call, Marianne. Stephen, what are you hearing and what Marianne's shared?
I'm grinning broadly here as she speaks. All of what she said, the soul searching, the counselling, the putting the work in, and that dedication to making this great is exciting to hear. It's the world would be a better place if there were more people like Marianne doing that that work in the relationship.
Well done, Marianne. What about you, Zoe? What are you thinking as you were listening to Marianne speak?
I suppose feeling really kind of similarly, but also kind of thinking, you know, this is something that she values, that they both value, that they both enjoy, and that this is part of, you know, wanting a partnership. It's like Jamie was talking about wanting to be together. I think some people don't know whether or not they really want to be in a relationship. And so what Marianne's talking about is just this kind of intentional, yes, I do really want this. Mm-hmm. And that means that that kind of work, as we call it, is also a pleasure.
Mm. And this kind of work, has to be said, can be applied to the first relationship as well.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You can start now.
Yeah.
Don't have to wait for the second.
No.
Let's go to Debbie in Tasmania. Welcome to Life Matters, Debbie. What would you like to say about the second marriage experience or beyond?
Well, actually, I don't have a second marriage experience, but my husband had.
Okay.
He now has passed away last year of Alzheimer's disease, and we've been married for 33 years, but he was previously married for 25 years and in Canada. He's Canadian. Mm-hmm. But he was married as a young man. He actually was in the Olympics in 1960 in the rowing, and they came second. Canada came second. But when he came back, he'd lost his brother in a tragic accident. When he came back, he was so disillusioned. Anyway, he got this woman pregnant, and then she didn't want to be married to him. And unfortunately, it was very difficult for him and both of them, actually. Anyway, I can't talk about their marriage because I wasn't in it. So anyway, when I met him, he was 53 in Australia. He'd been here for 40 years. And, of course, she had been with him for a lot of that time. Where he'd been single for 5 years because they divorced, and we got married quite quickly on a holiday, and I really had wanted to be married for so long, and I was so devoted to having a commitment in a marriage, so devoted that I just thought, yes, this is it, because I'm 34, I need someone, I need to get married. Anyway, we had some core values in common, so I thought, yeah, I'm going to go for this. Anyway, it was very difficult because he had a lot of baggage from previous marriage, and I had my own baggage as well, and it was just so difficult juggling all of this baggage. And, of course, we were both working at the marriage because of the core values we had. However, it was very difficult for me from the point of view that him being a man from that previous generation, women just they support the man. That's their job, mm-hmm. to support the man. Well, I needed support and I didn't have it. Yeah. Anyway, that's my story. That's not his. Anyway, he was such an amazing father. When he was 60 years old, he had two little toddlers to look after of his own, new family. And he was just wonderful. You know, he'd learned so much from his previous marriage where he had three children and he'd loved them so much. I mean, family was the most important thing to him. And he was devastated, I think, that it didn't work out, the first marriage. And he really wanted to try again.
Yeah.
And we had the most wonderful marriage, juggling all the baggage and everything. But it was, I would never look back thinking I wish it didn't happen, because it was wonderful.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. A lot in there, and really generous of you to share. I want to come to you and Zoe and Stephen talking about baggage, because I think that is a really important thing that we haven't really tackled yet, is that I imagine going into a second long-term relationship, like we all have baggage, mm-hmm. but then you're mm-hmm. carrying it in. And then that could add more to the stress of wanting to make something work. I want to hear about the process of not just juggling the baggage, but actually taking care of that baggage, Zoe.
Yeah, I think you've got it in one, and Debbie sort of named it as well, is to, first of all, to know it's there.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people pretend the baggage lives with my ex. That's gone, you know, and it's not. Of course, you take it with you. Then you unpack it. You unpack it by yourself. What is it? You know, the hurt of things that happened, the things that you did that you're unhappy about. And then there's the stuff you unpack together, which is like, oh, I've just done this thing I did in my last relationship, and I can see, you know, how harmful it is. And also discussing it with each other. I'm really afraid this is going to happen again.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, well, that's part of the baggage, isn't it, Stephen? Maybe the white knuckling of, I can't let this one, you know, to use, you know, word fail again. Mm-hmm. What does that say about me and my ability to love and be loved?
Yeah. Well, some of the baggage I brought in is a tendency to withdraw in conflict. And I think I've become more complex. I have become more conscious of that. And as Zoe was saying, to actually put that on the table in the moment is an example of that unpacking of the baggage. I am now feeling right now that I am stepping back. I'm fuzzing out. I'm starting to leave our connection here, and to actually put that out on the table so she knows that I'm not falling asleep or that I'm not bored, that I'm actually being activated in this way, allows us to work it out together. Mm. And also gives me something to do after we work it out, to go back and really make sure that baggage is sorted and packed in a correct way, if I can say that.
Thoughtfully disposed of. We are coming to the end of our conversation with Zoe Kripka and Stephen Andrew. Zoe, I might just throw to you for the final thoughts on, you know, anybody listening out there working on a relationship. It can be a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth marriage. What are your thoughts, your final, I guess, nugget of wisdom to everybody out there trying to do the work?
I think know what happened in that first marriage. What did you do? What took you there? What did you do while you were there? You know, what happened between you and your partner? It's not just about making a different choice. It's also about you being different in the relationship.
Well, since you did that so beautifully, 30 seconds for you, Stephen.
I'd agree with that completely. And I would add, have a look at your family of origin as well. This is where we learn about relationships. And some of those learnings are not particularly wise. So have a look at that as well.
Yeah, that's the baggage, isn't it?
Well, that's the under baggage.
Underneath it's, the baggage. It's not, it's, that's in the hole. Wow.
That's in the hole, yeah.
A lot of cargo. Okay. Dr. Zoe Kripka is a psychotherapist, a senior lecturer at the Kandrelly Institute, and host of the podcast, How's That Working For You? And Stephen Andrew is a psychotherapist who specializes in individual couples, throuples, and polycules. Zoe and Stephen, it's been grand. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate this conversation.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.